Father, open our eyes and open our ears today to receive what you would have for us, Lord. You know each one of us so intimately. We pray, Lord, you'd speak today into our lives, change us and mold us into the image of your Son. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, it's so good to be back with you today. We really missed you, and we were actually looking really forward to coming back. But it was a good couple of weeks in Alaska. We enjoyed it. If you've never been, it's a land of fresh air. It's a land of glaciers and icebergs and green forests and all kinds of wonderful ways to just kind of get away. I thought I'd show you maybe a couple of pictures of our time away. So this is a selfie that we did. Yeah, that got some play. And this is Simeon in front of a glacier that we were on a boat, and he was looking. I finally got him to smile. And then this is us in front of an iceberg. We just went on a kayaking trip, and there was all these icebergs, and so that was one of them. So it was a really nice vacation. But, you know, not all vacations are nice. So several years ago, we were on vacation. We were actually driving to Texas to see my parents who lived there at the time. And we were driving on a rural road, and it was dusk, and we were driving probably about 50, 60 miles an hour, and we ran into a 200-pound mule deer. So literally, the deer went flying over the road. We had hit him so hard, and our car was completely totaled. And there we were in the middle of nowhere. I mean, literally in the middle of nowhere. And we had no idea what we were going to do. You know, we just, we didn't have a lot of resources at the time. We were 100 miles away from the nearest airport, bus station. There were no Ubers or anything like that. You know, we were just there. And we were, you know, taken to our hotel room finally by a tow truck. And he had to travel 40 miles to get to us. And so we were taken to some hotel. And we all we could do is just come together and pray, because we had no idea what we were going to do. We just prayed, and the Lord just met us there that night in a way that was just really special. We had no idea what we were going to do, but the Lord just gave us the assurance in our hearts that He's going to make all things right. Well, we woke up the next morning, still didn't have any idea what we were going to do. But we just continued to pray, waiting on the Lord. And then that afternoon, we met these two strangers who said that they would take us to the Midland-Odessa airport where we could rent a car. And so they drove us that 102 miles to that place. We arrived at the airport, and took our money out. You know, we're going to pay them for their time and, you know, the gas and all that. And they stopped and they said, "Oh, no, we're supposed to do this." Now, that is the Lord's provision, isn't it? And we will never forget that. It's just like, it was just a time when the Lord just kind of met us in our need. And it was clearly the Lord. Who are these two men? You know, we may not know until the other side of eternity to find that out. In the Old Testament reading today, that comes from Deuteronomy 8, Moses is preparing the Israelites to enter into the promised land. So 40 years they had traveled in the wilderness, and during this time they had seen God's amazing and miraculous provision for them. And now they'd finally arrived at the place. So this is the land that, you know, that over and over again had been promised to the Israelites, and now they'd finally arrived at that place. And it would be a good place for them to live. In fact, 23 times in the scriptures it's called a land flowing with milk and honey. I mean, this isn't going to be like the wilderness. This is going to be a land where they would find blessing. And so Moses is delivering a sermon to the Israelites to remind them not to forget about the Lord as they embark on this new life. And I think it's a message that we need to hear as well. So turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Our lectionary just took us to the first 10 verses, but I added the last 10 verses, not to make it more difficult, because I know there's a lot of reading today, but because I think there's just a lot for us. And to understand the full message, I wanted us to hear all the verses. So it's 1 through 20 of Deuteronomy chapter 8. So in this sermon, and Moses' sermon is divided into three parts here. So verses 1 through 10 is a call to remember the lessons in the wilderness. Verses 11 through 18 is a warning about not remembering the lessons, and then 19 through 20 are the consequences of forgetting. So in verses 1 through 10, Moses is highlighting the importance of the lessons the Israelites learned in the wilderness. During those 40 years, the Israelites, you know, they didn't have a home to go to. You know, they were constantly on the move. And this was a land that was barren. You know, it wasn't a rich or fertile land. In fact, just the opposite. And they were constantly moving, so they couldn't plant crops or anything like that. And so they were completely dependent on the Lord, who provided them manna and water day by day. And then Moses reminds them in verse 4, your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot didn't swell during those 40 years. I mean, it should have, but it didn't. In a desolate land without resources, God had miraculously provided for the Israelites. And in return, God asked them to keep his commandments by walking with him and fearing him all the days of their lives. Now, at times, this journey was particularly arduous. It was particularly difficult for them, especially when God disciplined the Israelites for worshiping idols, for engaging in immorality, or failing to trust them. And occasionally, God let them hunger and let them thirst. But the hardship was meant to transform them. It was meant to be something that changed them as a people. You know, years of hardship can really transform people. You know, if you've gone through, or you've known people who've gone through hard times, it changes them. It's like they're not the same anymore. So Julie's grandmother, who was a Polish immigrant, grew up during the Great Depression. And her deprivation and poverty continued to be an influence on her for the rest of her life, long after the Great Depression. So she mostly worked as a cleaning woman, but she saved every cent that she made. And long after the Depression ended, she just always lived a very simple life. You know, she didn't flaunt her wealth. She didn't trust in banks, so she invested every cent that she had in real estate. And by the end of her life, this cleaning woman owned 3 homes, one of which was a brownstone in Brooklyn, probably worth millions of dollars today. Now, as the Israelite circumstances were about to change dramatically, Moses is urging them to be shaped by the memory of the lessons that they'd learned in the past. They were to remember God's provision and his rescue so that they would trust him and not themselves as their circumstances began to improve. One of the ways the ancient Israelites established a practice of remembering was through prayers, the prayers that they had. So in the morning and evening, in particular, the Israelites recited the words of Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5. And you're going to know these verses. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Now, this is known to Jews as the Shema, and it's based on that first word, which in the Hebrew means to hear or listen. That's what Shema means, hear or listen. And so the Shema functioned for the Jews like a pledge of allegiance or a hymn of praise that they would say every day to kind of orient their life. Now, given the importance of the Shema to the Israelites, it's not surprising that Jesus himself taught that the greatest commandment is to love God. So you remember in Matthew chapter 22, 37 and 38, Jesus told the lawyer that the first and greatest commandment was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And for the Israelites to whom now Moses is speaking in Deuteronomy 8, the love of the Lord was to serve as the foundation of life, for it would provide them with proper orientation on how to live their life each day. Everything in life was meant to be structured around the love of God, which they were to demonstrate through obedience to the commands that God gave them. In verses 11 through 8, Paul warns the Israelites not to forget about these lessons learned. And he addresses here two specific risks that that they would find as they entered the promised land and its bounty. And the two major dangers are this. First, the threat of autonomy. So autonomy simply means independence. You know, it's the idea, the belief that you can do it on your own. You know, it's you have all that you need. And so verse 11, Moses warns, take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments. So here is the issue. Once the Israelites arrived in the promised land and they received all the blessings of the land, that they would begin to forget about the Lord and they would raise themselves up. You know, the problem with wealth and achievement, and if you guys are overachievers, if you guys have succeeded a lot in life, is that the more successful you are, the more that you begin to think that it's your own efforts that enabled you to achieve those things. And here's how Moses cautions the Israelites in verse 12. When you have eaten your fill and have built fine homes and live in them, and when your herds and flocks have multiplied and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then do not exalt yourself, forgetting the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. And then he continues in verse 17, do not say to yourself, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. And I think for Americans, this is a really hard thing for us to hear. You know, deep within our psyches, I mean, it's in all of us, you know, just part of the ways that we're, you know, kind of enculturated in this nation. You know, there is a belief that if I've been successful in my job, if I've accomplished things in life, if I have a large house, if I have an extravagant car, if I attain a certain social economic level, it's because I deserve it. I have worked hard for what I have. And as citizens of the world's only superpower, as those who have, you know, we're the wealthiest people that really existed on the earth ever, we can be deceived into thinking that what we've achieved is the result of our superior intellect or tenacious effort. But the Bible says we're deceiving ourselves. It's not true. It's not true. It is God who gives us all that we have. As Moses reminds the Israelites in verse 18, remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. We want to exalt ourselves when we've achieved things. But God wants us to get on our knees and say, thank you, because you're the one who's given us these things. You know, we realize just, you know, we are utterly dependent on the Lord, and most of us don't even realize it. We are utterly dependent moment by moment, day by day, and if we've achieved things, it's because it's been a gift of the Lord, not because of anything that we have done. The second threat to the relationship between the Israelites and God is this: reducing God to one that we can manipulate. So God is not a wishing well. You know, God is not one that we can just go to and he's supposed to give us whatever we ask. And if he doesn't give us what we ask, you know, then we have the right to complain or even doubt his existence. And when we reduce God this way, we demonstrate that we truly don't know him or love him. You know, we human beings can reduce others that way as well. You know, so a man can reduce his wife into a yes woman. So over the years, he coerces her into believing and doing the things that he wants. And as the years pass, she no longer has her own identity. And when a man does this, he demonstrates that he truly doesn't know or care about his wife or to grow into a deeper relationship with her. He's transformed her into a woman of his own creation. And that's what we can do with God as well. We can transform him into something that he isn't. And as a result, we miss out on having a genuine relationship with the living God. Moses' sermon in Deuteronomy 8 focuses on how to avoid these twin threats: autonomy and reducing God into, well, one in our own making. And the sermon urges the Israelites to remember the lessons learned in the wilderness. In the last verses of Moses' sermon, he describes the consequences of forgetting the Lord. So he portrays the Israelites' time in the wilderness as years of testing, in which they were humbled and trained to be fearful of the Lord. In verse 2, Moses says, "God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness that he might humble you, testing you to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." You know, when companies manufacture products, they test them. They test them to make sure they'll work. You know, they'll test them to make sure they'll hold up to whatever stresses might be put on them. And similarly, Moses says that God tests his people to know what is in their heart, whether they will be a people who will obey him or not. Testing draws people out of the normalcy of their life. They can't live the same way given the testing that they're enduring. And it forces them either to run away from the Lord or to draw near to him. For those Israelites who ran away, the results were catastrophic. When Moses sent out spies to check out this incredible land that the Lord was providing for them in Numbers 13, the majority came back and gave a negative report. Not because the land wasn't beautiful, oh, indeed it was, but because they were afraid of the strength of the nations that were there. The consequence of the Israelites' distrust in the Lord was 40 years of wandering, 40 years of fruitlessness, 40 years that they could have known the blessings of the Lord and did. And now Moses is warning them again of the consequences of not loving the Lord and obeying his commandments. In verse 19, Moses declares, "And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish." Even though they were God's chosen people, these are the very people that God had chosen from the very beginning, their existence as a people would be in jeopardy if they stopped remembering the Lord, because it was the Lord that defined them. It was the Lord that made them into the people that they were. And it's an important lesson for us. America has been sustained by the prayers of faithful Christians who've constantly lifted up this nation over the years. And so we as a nation must not forget about the Lord. Current blessing is not a guarantee of future blessing. Our Lord Jesus Christ knew Deuteronomy 8 very well. You remember that during the time in the wilderness, he quoted the third verse of Deuteronomy 8 when Satan tempted him with stones, turning them into bread. "Man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of God." And in quoting this verse, Jesus was in effect saying, "I will trust God right now, not my power, even though if I relied on my power, it might relieve my pain." God desires us to be in relationship with him. It's not necessarily a relationship of prosperity. Indeed, God may push us to our very limits. The blessings of relationship with God are not material, but they're relational. just as close friends, or our closest friends, are not those who give us lots of things, but those who go through the tough times in life with us. God desires an intimacy that recognizes that we are completely dependent on Him. Are you living in a time of prosperity right now where things are going well in life? You'll be tempted to think that you made that prosperity happen. It's just not true. All our blessings come from God. And remember the times of hardship, you know, that we faced in the past, they were meant to help us. They were meant to help form us into the people that we are, so that we learn to rely on the God. And if we do so, we will see God's incredible care and provision for us, just as the Israelites did in the wilderness. Let's pray. Lord, we just stop this morning and we confess that we have been a people who have been incredibly blessed. We have received much. Lord, forgive us for those times when we've exalted ourselves, when we've lifted up ourselves and said, this is what I deserve, this is what I've made for myself. Lord, we're sorry. Instead, this day, we just say thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you for blessing us with blessing upon blessing. Thank you for blessings of health, blessings of material things, blessings of this church, blessings of all that we have, Lord. We know it all comes from you. And we just acknowledge you this day. You are God. And we just seek to enter into greater reliance and dependence on you. And we pray this in your Son's name. Amen.